Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, my friends. This is Mickey Desai. I'm your host today for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I am very lucky to have Tom Brush on the phone with me. Tom, how are you?
I am doing great. How are you doing today, Mickey?
I'm great. Thank you for taking the time to do this recording. I hope it'll be a fulfilling one for both of us. Can you briefly introduce yourself and talk about your area of expertise?
Sure. As you said, my name is Tom Brush, and I'm the CEO and founder of Advancement Designs. And we help nonprofit organizations find clarity, direction, and raise more resources for helping them accomplish their mission. You know, I've been in the nonprofit world for 25 plus years, both in higher education and in the social services side of it. And after a long career in that, I decided that I wanted to get out and take some of the knowledge and expertise that I had gained and share that with nonprofits, because I know that they don't always have the resources they need. And so if they can get any sort of help, it can be beneficial to help them grow their organization.
So it's more than just fundraising, isn't it?
It is. It's everything from strategic planning to board management to fundraising, marketing, communications, all of that ties together. And ultimately, it also becomes a little bit about coaching. You know, many organizations have small staffs, or maybe there's just the executive director. And I think it's hard sometimes for them to sit there and try to figure out what's the next step. They don't have someone to talk to, bounce ideas off of. They can't necessarily go to their board all the time because they were hired to be the expert. And so, you know, having somebody else that they can just communicate with who understands and can look at things from a broader perspective can be really beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Who's your typical client, or is there a typical client?
Yeah, you know, the clients I really like to work with are those that are generating under $1 million of resources. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like above that, not that they don't still need a lot of help, because they do sometimes, but those are the people who are looking to grow. They're already making a difference. They've had some success. Typically, they do fairly well with event fundraising, but now they need to take the next step, because at some point, event fundraising has a limit, has a ceiling. You can only charge so much. You can only find so many sponsors. And they also have a shelf life. Sometimes events just run their course and they don't have the influence they used to have. And so those organizations have to figure out, how do we become stronger at individual donations and individual giving, and trying to get their donors to move up in their levels of support. And so I find that really fascinating and interesting, to get in and talk about prospects and talk about strategies and next steps, and really the planning for solicitations, who should be in the room and what should the ask be. I love those conversations.
You know, since it is more than fundraising, what are some of the other resource development things that you have to help a nonprofit with, as opposed to just making the ask and figuring out who to ask for funds?
Yeah, it's really, there's a lot that goes into it, you know, because the process is a cycle, and they have to identify people, qualify them, cultivate them before you even get to the solicitation process. And then it's critical that you steward them on the backside. And so some of it is just looking for things that they don't normally look at. Data is a big piece of it. And I know that we have the ability to gather lots of data, but a lot of people don't know what to do with it. And so I try to help them break that down. So we take and try to focus on who are like the best potential prospects that we haven't thought about. Who are those people who make a gift every single year? Who are the people who made one-time large gifts? Mm-hmm. Who are the connections that we have that we haven't thought about, that sit on a foundation board, run a corporation, that we can leverage those relationships in a way to generate additional resources? So, and I think it's also segmenting our population. You know, we get tied into what we've always done. And the typical strategy is, let's send out a mailer. We'll put everything we possibly can into that text, trying to hope that we hit everybody who's possibly out there that we're soliciting. And I think what happens is that we miss the mark. And we spend so much time on the text that we miss the concept of, what is the donor looking to read? And can we provide them with that information? So part of that is understanding where donors' interests are and how do we now start to target that information to them on a more regular basis. And there's lots of ways to do it, and it takes time and really a database that allows you to track some of that information. But I think it becomes much more effective when we're able to put the right message in front of the right people at the right time. Our results for getting support is going to be greater.
So we're talking about things that need to be maintained from the very beginning with a nonprofit, or at least it sounds like it. I imagine it's very hard to be a nonprofit that maybe is, you know, 5 years into providing mission-oriented services, and then all of a sudden they realize that their database is not where it needs to be, that they don't really have a good mailing list. You know, if you have a nonprofit that finds itself in that situation, how do they pull themselves out of that bad place?
Yeah, it's starting wherever they can start from. I was working with a group of nonprofits recently, and we started talking about that. You know, what does your mailing look like? What does your database look like? And this very small nonprofit who've been operating for a few years said, yeah, we have like Rolodex cards that we work off of. And I'm like, okay, at least you have that. So let's now think about how do we take that data and put it even in an Excel spreadsheet? Because if you're small and developing, an Excel spreadsheet will at least allow you to put in things like you can sort by name, address, data of gift, amounts of gifts, maybe events that they attended. And then you start to work your way into, as you grow, what are other databases that can be more effective and really try to meet you where you're at. And the benefit of having it in an Excel spreadsheet is you can easily upload it to whatever the next database is that you're trying to work with. But I would say to anybody who's struggling with that is you just have to start and think about what are the key things you want to know. And for me, the minimum is the amount of their gift, what was it designated towards anything, and what time of year did they donate? Because many times we'll start to, you know, it's interesting. I was doing a project a while ago and looking at data, and it fascinated me how many people made gifts online, and yet the organization continued to solicit them through the mail. I was thinking, huh, that might be a place where they could save some resources. If this person is always making their gift online, why are we mailing to them?
Mm-hmm.
And if a donor always makes their gift at the end of the year, you know, for the last 3 or 4 years, they make a December 30 or December 31st gift, why do we continually solicit them throughout the rest of the year? There might be other reasons, and that's why it's important to say what are the goals of every communication piece you have.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're really thinking about how do we maximize resources, how do we maximize our time and effort, having a better understanding of how our donors react or act is going to be more important because it allows us to be a little more focused.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about focus, time, and effort. And a lot of nonprofits simply hit the ground running, you know, pushing their own mission-oriented agenda. And I think board members are sort of fall into that trap, right? They're involved in making sure that the feel-good moments get to be delivered, but they don't look at the actual business side of what it means to look at a nonprofit. What are some things you would share with that type of organization to keep them from avoiding trouble?
Yeah, one of the things I really try to emphasize with them is having a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And again, strategic plans are great, although with the way the world moves, you know, trying to think out 3 to 5 years is difficult. But if you can at least set a plan for the year, and once you have that, there's really, at least on the fundraising side of things, there's 5 components that you want to have a goal for. You want to have it for your events that you run, individual giving strategy, the strategy you have with grants from either foundations or some corporations who operate that way, what's your communication strategy, and then what is your stewardship strategy. And if you can sit down and develop goals that have specific action items, now you have a place to start, and you can get everybody to agree to it. It really avoids what becomes a challenge is that shiny object that shows up and a board member says, I was at this event and this other organization raised a ton of money doing this. Why don't we do this? And I think we can try to pull that off in the next, you know, 2 or 3 months. But if you've at least sat down and said, here are the things we're planning to do this year, not that we can't take something away if this is really better, but at least we have a roadmap to help us get from where we are to to where we want to be. And one of the things I really try to focus with organizations on is how do we prioritize each of those goals? Because for some of us, we're going to be stronger in events, so we're going to spend more time there. Others, we're really good at getting funding from foundations, so maybe we want to spend time there. But at least if we determine how much time are we planning of the overall fundraising time we have, how much time we have for each of these efforts, now we can focus and prioritize. And now we can figure out how to go about our day-to-day work, knowing that we need to spend X amount of time on these things. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps, just like in a business. You put together a business plan, and your goal is to do those step-by-step things that take you from where you are to where you want to be. And then if you're continually measuring them, you have, you know, an idea of your success. Nonprofits need to operate the same way. They need a regular plan. Here's their course, their roadmap. And then continue along the way to evaluate, adjust if necessary, and then keep moving forward. Fantastic. And I think that helps avoid that.
Right. And just keep an eye on the plan and keep moving one foot in front of the other.
Yeah. And it's interesting. You know, I was doing a session with heads of boards, mm-hmm. Board presidents, talking about something completely different. And somehow strategic plan came up. And one of the board presidents off to the side said, yeah, you mean those things that sit on the shelf and nobody looks at?
Right.
And my comment to him was, you know, if that's all a consultant does is come in and give you a plan and say, here you go, here's your plan, and doesn't talk to you about how are you going to measure it? When are you going to review it? How are you going to make this a living document that really drives the organization and not just ultimately a waste of time? We sat down for 3 or 4 hours or for 2 days and went through all these things and came up with this pretty plan, and then we set it aside. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we let everybody know this is the plan and here's our progress towards the results of that plan, and being very transparent about this is what we're trying to accomplish, and we need everybody, board, staff, volunteers, our constituents, to understand, you know, these are our priorities and this is how we're moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And we're almost out of time, Tom. I was wondering if you had time to do a second episode where we could talk about a little more of the nuances that go into planning, both strategic planning and fundraising planning. Can we do that in episode 2?
Absolutely. I love talking about that stuff, so I'm more than happy to do that.
Fantastic. And if a listener wanted to try to contact you, how would they do that?
Sure. They can either go to my website, which is advancementdesigns.com, or they can email me at tom@advancementdesigns.com. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter under the same names and available to be reached there.
Fantastic. Thank you for taking the time to do this recording today.
Thank you, Mickey, for your time. It was a pleasure.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us. This has been the episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast, and we will see you guys in about a week.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.